several people in our lesson that we could discuss. We have Elisha. We have Naaman. We have the little girl, servant girl. But I want to take a look at, first of all, the difference between Elisha and Elijah. Because I've always been kind of interested in the ministry of Elisha. Now let's go with Elijah first. When you think of Elijah the prophet, what comes to your mind about his ministry and life? What are some of the highlights? Yes?
I think that he was a very colorful man in activity and all, and the things that happened during his ministry were pretty awesome.
Okay.
Holding the rain for 3.5 years, yep. healing a dead son and fleeing a queen because of her violence and all of these things. He was a very colorful prophet, I thought.
Okay.
And then, of course, the big experience of on the mountaintop where he is offering the sacrifice against the Baal worshippers and such a victory that he shows there and then flees again from that. So, to me, he was a very colorful man. While Elisha...
No, we'll come to him in a minute. We'll come to Elisha in a minute. Elijah, anybody else? Yes. Yeah, okay. All right. So, is it fair to say that Elijah did some mighty things for God? Then how do we explain that right in the middle of doing all of these mighty things from God, one woman scares him to death, and he takes off running, hiding. And yet, yes, go ahead.
I think a woman can scare any man. and she had the power behind it, so...
Yeah. But it is ironic that he could stand up to prophets by the hundreds and yet run. So his life, most of the time we see the upside, one downside, yet it's very interesting how God treated Elijah in that time. And of course, one of the most beautiful experiences of that was when in a still small voice, not the wind, not the fire, not all of the great things of nature, but it was that still small voice that caught Elijah's attention. And what was Elijah's reward? Translated to heaven. Now we look at Elisha. Was Elisha there when Elijah was taken to heaven? Yes. What do we know about Elisha's ministry?
Well, he wanted to extend
more than 50 years.
Absolutely, long term. What else? What else?
A very powerful ministry, but a very subtle ministry, I think.
Okay. Started the School of Prophets. Well, absolutely a wonderful step. Worked in one of the worst times of Israel's history, right after Ahab. Made the axe flow. Had miracles. Cured a leper, today's lesson. Had a great ministry. Now, do you think in Elisha's mind... He had witnessed Elijah going to heaven. Do you think that in his mind, he thought maybe the same thing would happen to him?
Wouldn't that be a possibility of asking for his clothes?
Okay. Does anybody know how his life ended? He became a very sick and ill person.
A what person?
Sick and ill.
Oh.
And he died a sick man. That's why I've always admired Elisha. Because if one was to look at their lives, Elijah certainly had high moments, but he had a big period where he didn't trust God. From all accounts, Elisha all the way did that was right. And look at the ending of their lives. One's in heaven, still alive, translated, and the other one died a very sick and hurt man. What do we get from that comparison?
It's a curious thing. The Bible doesn't mention anything about him being married.
Well, no comment. I get in trouble. What do we get from that? Oh, yes, ma'am.
God does things His way. We don't know why. He has His own purposes. We cannot always see the reasons for things, but it's a matter of faith.
Okay.
Life isn't fair.
No. It's a big lesson to learn in life. What do we get from that? Do you think it would have been fair for Elisha to have been translated? Well, obviously, I'll let you ponder it, and we'll move on to the next one. Let's go to Naaman. Who has 2 Kings, the 5th chapter? Can somebody that's got a good reading voice? Anybody? 2 Kings 5. Calvin, you have it there?
Now, Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife.
All right, let's stop there. This was right after Ahab reigned. Israel was not following God, was not protected by God, and the Syrian army continually made raids into Israel. And we suppose on one of the raids that Naaman, who was a mighty warrior, one of the generals, we would say, and he brought back among people a Hebrew slave girl who attended in his house. Now, Naaman had one problem. What was it? He was a leper. Now, it's interesting that in Jesus' time, if there was a leper, what did that mean?
Unclean. Declare themselves unclean.
You're unclean, but what else did that mean?
Separated.
What else did it mean?
You've done some sin against God.
God was against you. In Jesus' time, if you were a leper, you had done mighty sins against God, and being a leper was your punishment. Now, it's interesting, here among a bunch of heathen who didn't know God, one of their mighty generals was a leper. Sometimes we tend to be a little judgmental. Now, you can imagine what type of things do you think Naaman had done in order to get rid of his leprosy. What would you do if you were a leper?
Anything.
Everything.
He sought out his heathen gods first.
Absolutely. He had prayed to everybody he knew. He had tried most anything because you would try to do. All right, Calvin, you're doing an excellent job. Continue, sir.
And she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with me, prophet who was in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who was from the land of Israel."
Okay, let's stop there for a second. What kind of faith did this girl have?
The faith of a child.
Faith of a child? What would have happened if she was wrong? probably lost her head or been demoted. She had a lot of things online. But yet, somehow, she had enough faith in God, enough faith in Elisha, that she was willing to stick out her head and say, if you'll go see this man, you might be healed. Is that what it says? You might be healed, Calvin?
He will.
Pardon?
He will.
He will heal. Wow. That's a lot of faith. That's a lot of trust. Where do you think this trust came from? Now, the quarterly, which I love the quarterly, I read it, wants us to think that it was all in parenting, that her parents must have been outstanding people. What do you think was the core of this girl in this situation to speak up and tell her master, go and you will be healed? How does a person get to that point?
She probably had witnessed it before.
Okay. Pardon?
She wanted to help him.
Wanted to help him? Rob?
It seemed like the last thing she would do was tell him to go to God, because here is a child that's in captivity, which means they could have interpreted God let him down.
Yeah.
Here she is in captivity.
Yeah.
Still.
Absolutely. That's the point of, and I appreciate that, Rob. Here's a girl whose everything, her world's been turned upside down. God, if you're for me, where in the heck are you? God, you promised you're going to take care of Israel, and we're in captivity. God, why did you allow this to happen to me? I didn't do anything. That's what a normal person would have said. And sometimes that's what we say. But she must have had a relationship with God. Not her parents. Parents certainly must have helped. But she must have had that personal relationship with God and understood who He was. That in the midst of all of her own problems, she was able to say to Naaman, your gods can't do it. Because that's basically what she's saying. But I know a God through a man who can do it. That is the definition of trusting and having faith in God.
The servant girl said, I worship a God who knows every word that you say, even in your bedroom,
privately, to any of your. Yep. So there has to be that relationship. That is, yes, Peter.
She had all reason not to help him.
Absolutely.
Because he was there, you know, serving, and she said, "Why should I help him? He's enemy to my country.
Yeah.
He's why I'm here, you know." But sometimes we talk like that, people, you know, why should I help you?
Oh, yeah. She, normal person would say, ha, ha, ha.
Yes.
Yeah. Good for you. Yes, Rob.
It's interesting when you see that theme as it goes through the Old Testament. How many people do we see? You know, you think of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, in their total defeat. And here they are in captivity. That girl must have had some kind of experience.
Yes.
As a result of being there, she didn't have her parents to rely on. But here was one who ended up there.
Absolutely.
And she ended up in this captain, this great captain's house. What about Joseph?
Yeah. All through there. This is where God wants us to be in our experience. You know, we go back to the supposedly pretty well accepted. The first book of the Bible was Job. And we go back to his experience. Why did you create me? I'd have been better off if I'd have died in my mother's womb. You know, this is a man of faith. You know, why am I alive? Why didn't you let me die? See, God invites us to share our thoughts. He already knows them. But He invites us to share thoughts. But it's the conclusion that matters. And Job ends up saying, and God said that Job said of me that which is right. He said, though you slay me, I will trust you. And that's where we must be in our life. The healing of Naaman's great. But the theme of this lesson ought to be, no matter where you're at in your experience with God, God will not leave you there alone. And just when you think it's the darkest, He's with you the most and will work with you. This little girl knew God. Now, we talk about missionaries. That's the theme of the quarter. As I've often said, as far as my goal from my missionary journey is Waxahachie. That's 30 miles from here, Calvin. But I'm not called to be a missionary as we think of a missionary. But I'm telling you, the mission field is the precious people and friends that are around us. That's the most precious mission field any of us have. And it's not what we say. You know, I read all over Facebook, everybody's upset one way or the other, or five different ways over general conferences, you know, and all of that. Boy, let me tell you, my opinion, that the devil loves for us to get involved in every single one of those issues. Loves it. Our mission field is to the most precious people around us, which is our families, our friends, our relatives, our neighbors, the people we work with. And it's what we do, it's not what we say that makes a difference. Let me tell you, this little girl must have been a very diligent, hard-working, kind person that stood out. Because no commander of men would go do something to make himself look like a fool based off of a servant girl. You would say, what the heck do you know? Her witness was not her words. Her witness was her life. And somebody said, Naaman thought, man, there's something to this girl. She's different. She stands out. She's not rebellious. I've got to listen to her. And that's the way that we have the opportunity to witness. What do you have that I don't have? Where do you get that peace? What do you think? I need your help. Calvin, continue, please.
The king of Syria said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing.
Okay, now, why did you notice that they kind of corresponded? They went through the ranks of, you know, my boss will talk to your boss, or my secretary will call your secretary. They went through all of that. Why did he bring all this money and change of clothing? Why? Why did he do that? Pardon?
Expected it to work,
but what else did he bring it?
He was paying
for his healing.
Pardon?
He was used to paying for what you get. He was used to buying his way through life. And so he says, man, no telling what this dude's going to charge me, so I'm going to bring the storehouse with me. If you were a leper, What would you do? Same thing. So he's used to a system that you get nothing free. After all these years, this guy's been praying to a stone or a piece of wood. So he was expecting nothing except what he could pay for. Calvin, please.
Then he brought a letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him?"
Now, what is the king of Israel's role back then? What is his role? President of what? The General Conference of Israel. Do you get that picture? And so here's a man of faith, man that God has put in line, chosen to lead the people. He gets this letter. What a wonderful opportunity. We're going to send Naaman, one of my trusted commanders, to you, and you're going to get, you and your prophet are going to get to heal him. And how was the king's faith?
Very low.
Oh my goodness, he says. Wow. I'm going to lose my head. One of the principles in life that we must understand is when anything happens, the first rule is, how does this affect me? Do you understand that? And this is exactly what the king did. Didn't think about the opportunity to witness. Didn't think about the power of Elisha. Didn't think about, man, this is a chance to really bond with these Syrians. How does it affect me? And he thought, I could lose my head. You see, when Jesus is not the center of our life, who is the center of our life?
We are.
And when it comes to anything outside of singing happy birthday to certain people, when it comes to anything, the first thought is, how does it affect me? Because that's an instinct that's bred within us. Instead of, what can I do for God? The little girl had that seed of faith in her, that her thoughts was never on what could happen to me, is how can I help this person? That's the difference. So the king of Israel bombs out on us. Rob?
I remember a story from HMS Richards where he was going and doing work, and a man on death row invited him to come in, and he came in with his Bible, and he sat down, and he said, "What can I do for you?" And the guy said, "I'm about to lose my life. How can I be assured that I have any chance of salvation?" H.M.S. Richards absolutely panicked, called for the guard, and had to be ushered out of that place because he says, "I realize I've never had anybody ask me that," and he says, "I had no idea." And in a way, this king was very honest.
Yeah.
Is someone going to be to do that? Who am I? At least he realized. Yeah. And I just love the way the Father pulls the curtain back and lets us understand our relationship and our knowledge of Him.
Yep. Yep. Here the king would have thought he had a perfect relationship with God.
Yeah.
After all, he's president of the General Conference, man.
I'm old enough that I can relate this. That the king's heralds, you know, used to be HMS Richards' primary singers. So HMS Richards came to preach it for our camp meeting that we were having down in Santa Cruz Mountain. And I said,
to so I walked up after the service was over and approached the King's Herald, and I said, you know, I want to ask you a question. He said, I said, how can you stand to hear the same sermon day after day after day after day? And they said, what do you mean? When he picks up a Bible, he never preaches the same thing in the same way every time.
Absolutely.
He wants the audience to understand.
Yeah, that's good.
He studied so much,
yes,
in the middle of the night even, you know,
yeah,
to be able to pick the Bible up, yeah, almost from memory, and it would, mm-hmm, be something that he knew would affect.
Right. Very good story. I appreciate you sharing that with us. Yeah. Okay, Calvin.
Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you.
Okay, let's stop there. Elisha goes and says, man, what an opportunity. So how much faith did Elisha have? Tremendous. Now Naaman comes to Elisha's house, and he comes up to the door, and Elisha sends a messenger out to give Naaman a message. Go down to the River Jordan, dip 7 times, and you'll be clean. Do we see anything of significance in that little part of the story? Yes.
He didn't want that man to think he healed him. He wanted him to know that it was his God that healed him.
Okay. That's good. What else?
He also didn't get caught up in thinking, I got it. I mean, he related to the man differently than the man's ever been related to in a way, because he didn't come out and try to placate him.
Absolutely. Very important to understand. Naaman is insulted. Yes. Yeah, we'll come to that in a second. He was insulted because anybody with respect comes out and meets the person themselves. And Elisha sends a servant. Why?
It was a test.
Pardon?
It was a test. Naaman's test.
Okay.
He could have walked away.
Okay. Why? Jesus healed many people. Correct?
They had to have faith.
Okay. Why wasn't he walking through?
Oh.
It's in your shirt.
Oh. Okay. I knew that.
Come and fix this thing, please.
Time out. Jesus walking through a crowd. He stops and says, who touched me? What was the disciples' reply? Everybody! Nah, there's one person. Why wouldn't more people heal?
She had the faith.
Pardon?
She had the faith.
She had the faith. Why wasn't more people healed? He healed 10 lepers. 9 of them were so ungrateful they didn't even come back and thank him. One of them said, I just ought to go thank him. Why?
She reached out.
Was he selectively reaching out?
No.
Let's see, today y'all need healing. Debbie, I think I'll heal you today. And Jim, I'm going to bypass this front row. Charles, I'm going to do it for you. Is that the way he did it?
No.
Then how did he do it?
She reached out to him.
He would have loved to have healed as many as possible. They didn't reach nor have any faith or care. So sad that he would be among a crowd and it's one lady. Everybody else passing by Jesus was thinking of themselves and of their problems and of the things that they had going. So Naaman comes. And he was insulted. But yet he wanted what God had more than the insult. And then, as Dr. Coy says, he says, go to the Jordan. You ever seen the Jordan? Not very pretty river. And what does Naaman start thinking? Just go ahead and read it. If it tells us.
But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage.
What a man of faith. What a man of faith. What are you talking about? I got some really pretty rivers over here.
It's a good thing he had such good servants from the girl to the ones he has now.
Who looks good in this story? Who's the hero of this story? Little girl? Is Naaman the hero? Elisha the hero? Servant the hero? Who's the hero? Parents of the little girl? Who's the hero? God's the hero. Look at the patience, the kindness, the tenderness. Naaman's furious. Doesn't say he's upset. Furious. Mad. If I had a good Greek teacher, I'd be able to read the Old Testament in the Greek and give you a concept of what that word furious in Greek translated in Hebrew is. But Calvin had a lousy Greek teacher. He happens to be sitting over there in that white shirt. You see? God's the hero. Naaman says, ain't going to do this. This was a stupid idea anyway. Now I'm telling you, most people would have said, what? Good enough for you, you crazy fool. But not God. So, what happens? What does God do? Calvin?
And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean.
Wow. Look at the messengers and the people that God sent in this man's life to get him at this point. A little girl in captivity who normally would have been a speck on the windshield of life in most people's lives. A king, head of the church, that says, oh my goodness, this ain't going to work, sends a prophet that says, I'll take care of him. A servant that runs after him and says, what's wrong with you? Seven times. Could go into why seven, but running out of time. And he comes up and he's clean. Now, I am positive that we have a convert to the Seventh-day Adventist Church out of this man Naaman. I am just positive. Calvin, let's read about how he became a member of the church.
And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him, and he said, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now therefore, please take a gift from your servant. And he said, as the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive it. And he urged him to take it, but he refused.
Why did not Elisha not take the money? Man, he could have put it in the building fund, Burton Academy, could have put it into the school of the prophets.
He didn't heal him.
Huh?
He didn't heal David.
Okay. Well, why wouldn't he take a little for the benefit of the church?
Because God said, you receive for free and give for free in the Bible.
Absolutely. Wanted no doubt in Naaman's mind how precious of a soul that Naaman is to God.
Amen.
He wanted him to understand God charges nothing to restore his child back to where God wants him to be. Nothing. He gives, he doesn't charge. All right, now read about the conversion. He said, God is good, God is great, God is God. Keep going.
So Naaman said, then if not, please let your servant be given 2 new loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord. Yet in this thing may the Lord pardon your servant. When my master goes into the temple of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, when I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord please pardon your servant in this thing. And he said to him, go in peace. So he departed from him a short distance.
Do you get the picture? Where's Naaman going back to?
His culture.
Huh?
His culture.
His culture. And where does he say he's going to think of God and the servant? When he's back in the heathen temple. Now, I wish the story would have ended differently. I wish the story would have been that Naaman went to Bowling Green, enjoyed Dr. Calvin's music, and joined the Adventist Church. But he's going to go back to his king. And he says, when I'm in the temple with these idols, I'm going to think about the goodness of God and the servant. And we would have reported one person lost. Do you see how good God is? We don't know what happened to Naaman. But we know one thing. As hard as God worked to touch a heathen soldier's leper's heart and make that child whole, can you imagine how hard God works in our lives to make us whole, no matter what the result is. That's the goodness of God. By the way, that's the message that our mission field that we get to work in every day has the opportunity to hear about a God, no matter where you're at, no matter what your attitude is working to make you whole again. That's our message. Father in heaven, as in every story in the Bible, you're the hero. Abraham looks good until you look at his life, but there you were. Jonah looks good until you look at his life. There you were. And Father, sometimes we look good, but we look back in our lives and we can see how hard you worked with us, how kind you were, how you sent servants to appeal to us, how you sent messages simply saying, "My child, I love you. Come to me. Let's spend eternity together." That's the kind of God you are. Bless us throughout this week. Keep our hearts and eyes focused upon you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.